Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the love that you do pour into us. We thank you that you love us, for we are surrounded by your love every day. If we open up our eyes and look, we see the evidence of your love and your faithfulness and your promises to us every day. We thank you that you love us, but we love you, Jesus. With the purity of love that we have from you, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus, you have your way in our lives. Have your way in this time, in this service. Have your way through this, which is your word. You be glorified. We praise you, we thank you, and we love you, Jesus. It's all in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you knew my mom was here. My mom is here in the third row. My brother is here next to him. And my sister-in-law, Amy, are all here. So it's good to have you guys here. Now, yeah, they're when family's concerned, they're pretty good. So they're worthy of praise. You are free to talk to Mom and Amy after church. Please, just don't talk to Dan. He's just going to say a bunch of embarrassing things. And you can't believe what he says about me anyway. So no, I'm just thrilled to have all three of you guys here. I do appreciate it. So, for those of you that weren't here the last couple of weeks, I'm going to spend a little time doing a little bit of review because I want to continue with what we were talking about in the past. For 2 weeks, we've been talking about success and how success in all areas of our life comes from serving. When we serve, serving leads to success. Now, the foundational example we've been using is King Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a man that the Bible says he served God in all that he did, and he served God with his whole heart. And the Bible says that God prospered Hezekiah. Success comes from serving. Now, after 3 weeks, I'm going to show you this verse again. This should be coming very familiar to us. This is from 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse number 21. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 21. This is talking about Hezekiah. It's what I just said. And in every work that he, Hezekiah, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law, and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart. And so he prospered. Success comes from serving. We looked in the book of Psalms. And in Psalms we saw that when we serve Jesus, it allows his righteousness to shine through us. As the light at noonday. The sun at noonday is at its highest point in the sky. And as being in the highest point of the sky, it affects the shadows that we see. It affects the shadow of us. When we serve Jesus Christ, we become the light at noonday, creating a shadow that affects the culture around us. Now, that sounds really good when you just hear it, but if you've not been here for 2 weeks, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'm going to give you a little bit of review, but even as we go through the message, it's going to make more sense. So to do a little bit of review, we also looked at and considered the fact that shadows, whether it's shadows in the natural world or shadows in the spiritual realm, all shadows have two parts to them, the umbra and the penumbra. It sounds ugly, but it's easy to remember, umbra and penumbra. So I want to show you this example. Let's get that first diagram up. So all shadows, physical or spiritual, have two parts to them, the umbra or the penumbra. So this is just an example of it. So you have the source of light, the flashlight. Then you have the ball which is going through it, and you can see the light being obstructed by the ball actually creates a shadow, but there's two parts to the shadow. You have the center part, which is the umbra. The umbra is the darkest part. It's the innermost part of the shadow. It's the part of the shadow where all the light is blocked out. Then you have the second part of the shadow, the penumbra. The penumbra is that hazy outer edge of the shadow because the penumbra is the part of the shadow that allows light to pass through. So that's the umbra and the penumbra. Now we can see that, we can understand that physically, but as we apply that spiritually, think of it this way. The umbra spiritually represents, the umbra spiritually, we see what it is physically, but spiritually, the umbra represents to us that place of protection, the shelter, that safety in God. It's what we think about when we look at the verses in Psalm 91. Under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the spiritual umbra of his shadow through us. The penumbra represents, spiritually, it represents the light and the power through the shadow. And we saw the example of that last week by looking at Acts chapter 5. And we saw that people were healed by the power of Jesus Christ just through the shadow of Peter. When we serve Jesus Christ, we become both the umbra, the protection, the safety, and the penumbra, the power of Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. When we serve Jesus, we become the umbra and the penumbra of His light shining through us. Josh, if I can see that second diagram. Now, you guys have seen this for 2 weeks, but you're going to get this ingrained into your brains. But for those that weren't here, I just want you to understand this. So this is actually a diagram showing shadows that take place during an eclipse. So we can easily understand, here's the sunlight, this is the earth. During an eclipse, the moon actually is between the sunlight and the earth. So the result of that is the moon blocking the sunlight creates a shadow on a portion of the earth. Here we see the umbra, that dark innermost part, and the penumbra, the outside part. So we can understand that physically, but here's what it means spiritually. As we apply that truth, because the shadows, what's true in the physical, is also true spiritually of the shadow that works through us. So, spiritually, the sunlight represents the light of Jesus Christ. The earth, this is the people that you and I have influence on in our daily lives. It's the people that we can impact. And then you and I, we are the large object, the opaque, meaning no light comes through it. You and I, we're the large opaque object between the light of God and between the earth. But this is the great things that happens. The light of Jesus Christ shining through you, even though you're an opaque object. We're opaque because of this flesh. Do you remember we talked about the Mount of Transfiguration? On the Mount of Transfiguration, what we saw was Jesus, even though he was in this flesh. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus removed or opened up the veil of the flesh so that his glory, his light could shine. See, you and I are in the flesh, so we are that opaque object. That light can't come through. But when you allow the light of Jesus to shine through you, allowing the light of Jesus to shine through you, even though you're opaque, his light still shines through the shadow of you. Even in this flesh, his light shines. And his light then creates that umbra, that place of protection. And it creates a penumbra, the power of Jesus Christ through us. Make sense? I love that. I love it when the things that we see in the natural world are exact explanations that we can apply and understand the spiritual realities. And you can see the power of Jesus Christ. So the thing we learned last week then, to add to all of this, we learned that we are summoned every day by God, summoned by Him to be His servants, serving as His apostles, as His envoys. Envoys sent forth with a specific set of orders by the Lord that He has empowered you to complete and to fulfill. So that, in a nutshell, that's probably the quickest review I've ever given here on City on a Hill. But that kind of gets us up to date. So building upon that, I want you to see what Paul tells us about serving as we move forward. And we're going to learn more about that place of protection today. So Paul explains to us in multiple places in his writings. Paul explains to us and tells us about the power of serving. And what Paul explains to us is he's letting us know that contentment and fulfillment in life come through serving. If I'm lacking in contentment and fulfillment in my life, I need to serve more. See, this was Paul's experience. Paul's personal experience was contentment and fulfillment come from serving the Lord. And Paul beseeches us. Even as we read today, he's beseeching us to serve so that we might ourselves know the blessings of serving him. Look in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you. Paul experienced this. He knows it. He wants us to experience it as well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies are opaque bodies of flesh that he can still shine his light through. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy in Jesus, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Success comes from service. Contentment and fulfillment in life come when we don't serve ourselves, but when we serve Jesus Christ, as we serve Jesus Christ by serving others. Now, if you go a few verses beyond that, in Romans chapter 12, we see that Paul tells us this, still talking about your serving. Romans 12, verse 11. This is the way it reads in the Amplified Bible. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Let me read that again. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens, don't lose the zeal of Jesus' call for you and your life. No matter what happens, let nobody rob from you your zeal, your enthusiasm, your earnestness in service. Not life, not the people around you, not even Satan. Let no one rob that zeal in you to serve and to serve the Lord. Because you know what? The world around you is waiting and watching. The world is waiting and watching for you to be aglow, for you to burn with the Holy Spirit in you, for you to be a fire that they can see. Andrew Womack says, if you are on fire for God, the world will come watch you burn. They want to see. The people in the world, they might deny Christ and they might say that they want nothing to do with him, but it because they are created by God. It's in their spiritual DNA. They want what you have, and they want it to be true. They want to see you and me on fire, burning with the Holy Spirit. Let's be on fire in our service. Let nothing take that zeal away from us. Amen? I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. When I mention the name Amos from the Bible to you, what comes to your mind? Yeah, probably nothing. What is it? Yeah, because Amos is not one of the more common books that we read. It's not like the Gospels. But Amos is considered to be part of the Bible that's called the Minor Prophets. And so it's in the Minor Prophets. Because we call it the Minor Prophets, we consider, justifiably, we consider Amos to be a prophet. But here's the interesting thing. Amos himself doesn't view himself that way. Let's look at the book of Amos. If you look in Amos chapter 7, verse number 14, Amos, if you find the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, after Daniel's Hosea, then Joel, then Amos. So if you can find the major prophets, he's not too far after that. I'm going to read this verse to you, Amos 7, verse number 14, from the New American Standard Bible, because I like the way it reads there. Amos 7, 14. Then Amos replied to Amaziah, I'm not a prophet. Nor am I the son of a prophet, for I am a herdsman, a grower of sycamore trees. By his own words, and this is relevant, by his own words, Amos is saying, I'm not a prophet. I was not schooled as a prophet. Amos was nothing more. He was simply a man that served God, and because Amos served God, God used Amos amazingly. Amos was just a herder of sheep and a grower of figs. This is what Amos was. And yet, Amos is an awesome example to us of what it means to be a servant to the Lord. I want us to remember Amos as our example this morning of being a servant to the Lord, because success in life comes from serving. Even in Amos' name, we can see that he's a servant of the Lord. The name Amos means burden bearer. Now, as new covenant believers in Jesus Christ, we are told to serve Jesus. This is how we're to serve. We are told to serve Jesus by carrying one another's burdens. Amos is burden bearer. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. This is your call and my, this is part of our call to serve. Bear one another's burdens. Amos is the burden bearer. You and I are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You are to be Amos to the people around you. You are to serve the people around you and to help bear their burdens with them through the word of God and through his love through you. This is what we are called to be. Now, also, as we understand Amos, it helps to understand the audience that he was speaking to. Because Amos was speaking to a people. He was speaking to a culture that was very affluent. He was speaking to a culture that was neglecting the word of God so that they could pursue their own personal pleasures. The culture that Amos was speaking to was a culture that was given to idolatry. It was a culture that called evil good and good evil. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like where we live. And Amos is our example of what it is to be a servant. We have the exact same opportunities before us. Now, Amos, he lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. But interestingly, God called Amos to speak prophetically to the people in the northern kingdom of Israel. He was from Judah, but God used him to speak to the people of Israel. These are different cultures. They do not get along well. You may be, and you are, a citizen of his kingdom, but God still uses you here in this world, just like he did Amos. He's going to use you. You're a citizen of the kingdom, but he uses you here in this world. There's nothing special about Amos. Nothing special. He's just a willing servant. You know what? You may not feel like there's anything special about you. Just be a willing servant. Because Amos was just a willing servant, and God used him amazingly. If you are just willing to serve, regardless of whether you feel there's anything special about you or not, he's created you. All you have to do is serve him. Serve him, and he will do amazing things through you. He will do the supernatural through you because he uses you. You are that body, that his light shining through you. His light shines through the shadow that you make. His light shines through for you to be the umbra and the penumbra, the protection and the supernatural power just by our willingness to serve him. He wants us to serve him. And Amos is our very simple example of a servant. Amos is one who is a herder of sheep and a grower of figs. Now, the Bible points out that we can understand the illustration and the spiritual illustration or the spiritual symbolism of being a herder, a sheep herder. But what about figs, a grower of figs? What about that? Well, it's kind of interesting when you consider what figs symbolically represent in the Bible. Figs, biblically, for the most part, figs represent the nation of Israel. But it's interesting because the Hebrew word for figs means to spread out. And that's significant because we know that Amos, the leaves or the fig trees that he was working with, these were wild sycamore figs. And these have very broad leaves. So when the Bible says figs spread out, this is a beautiful picture of that umbra, of the shade, of that part of the umbra that blocks out the light. It's that shade. It's that place of protection. It's that place of shelter. Because those leaves of the sycamore fig, when you spread them out, they're very wide. And they actually create, and they were used as a form of creating a large area of shade. Add to that, in the Old Testament, figs and fig trees specifically. Fig trees represent the promise to God's people of safety, of comfort, and of success. I'm taking this right from Strong's. In the Old Testament, figs represent safety, comfort, and success in the promised land. So if you were a Jewish person living in the Old Testament, figs and fig trees were something that represented to you, you were in the land of promise with the safety, with the comfort, and with the success that comes from his promises. You can see a number of verses when the Israelites were in the wilderness, and you can see a number of verses when the Israelites had actually moved into the promised land. You can see a number of verses where we see the fig tree itself as representing arriving in the place of safety, comfort, and success. I'm just going to give you one. You can see them in both the wilderness and in the actual land of promise. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 25, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree." You see again and again and again, if a man was sitting under his fig tree, it means he's arrived in the place of promise, in the promises of God himself, with security, with safety, with protection, and with success. So if figs and fig trees represent that place of safety and shade, what does that sound like? It sounds like part of that shadow of Jesus shining through you that we just talked about. It sounds like that umbra. Remember, the spiritual umbra is the place of protection. It's the place of shelter. It's the place of safety in God. It's where we use that verse, Psalm 91, under the shadow of the Almighty. Amos, as our example of a servant, Amos, as our example, is a grower of figs. And figs represent protection, safety, security, shade, success. Follow the example that we see from Amos. Follow the example and allow the word of God spoken through you to provide protection, shelter, safety in God, shade, comfort, and success for the people around you. Because you are a grower of figs, spreading out, spreading wide his comfort, his safety, and his success as you live out the word of God in your life and as you speak the word of God with your mouth. That is part of how God shining through this opaque body. He still shines through and provides that through us and through the word that we speak and the power that is in that. Can you see all that? All right, so let me go back to our foundational example. The foundational example is King Hezekiah. We'll come back to Amos in a few moments, but let's go back to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the king. And he was the king that served God in all that he did and with all of his heart. And so God prospered him. I want you guys to see how the shadows that we've been talking about for 3 weeks now, I want you to see how the shadows, Amos, our servant example, and the figs that we just saw, figs that represent his protection, his safety, his success. I want you to see that all three of those things come together at one moment in time in King Hezekiah's life, the one who we used as the foundation for this whole series. All three of those things come together at one moment. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 20, am I going too fast? I looked at Donna, she just gave me a little. 2 Kings chapter 20, we'll be looking at verse number 3 in just a moment, but in 2 Kings chapter 20, this is what's happening. Hezekiah has become sick with a sickness that brings him near to death. Now the prophet Isaiah has told King Hezekiah, get your house in order because you're going to die. That's the prophet Isaiah. So Hezekiah turns his heart to God because he's turned away from God. He's looked toward self. You can read in 2 Chronicles. If you read through chapter 32, you'll see exactly how this took place. But Hezekiah has turned away. But now, hearing that, Hezekiah turns his heart back to God once again. And in verse number 3, we read the prayer that Hezekiah prays to God. 2 Kings 20, verse number 3. "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, according to the expanded Bible, which is a different version, according to the expanded Bible, the words that we see here for loyal heart have done, according to the expanded Bible, words that are synonymous with that are served you with a whole heart. That's what's being said here. Hezekiah is remembering that he had served God once with his whole heart. And now with a heart of repentance, he's returning back to being all in for God. He's turning back once again to serve God with all of his heart. Hezekiah prays that prayer. And we learn that Isaiah has left Hezekiah. He's just told Hezekiah, prepare your house. Get your house in order because you're going to die. Hezekiah prays. Before Isaiah can get through the middle court of the palace, God speaks to Isaiah and says, Isaiah, return back to King Hezekiah and tell him I have heard his prayer and I've healed him. That God has delivered Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem. Because at the time, Jerusalem was being threatened again and again by the armies of the Assyrians. God himself says, go tell Hezekiah he's healed. He's delivered. The city of Jerusalem is delivered as well. So Hezekiah is healed. And in an act of anointing, Isaiah himself, the prophet, places figs on the body of Hezekiah that had been sick. Figs, which represent that place of protection. It represents that umbra. It represents that part of the shadow, the part of the shadow where we find the protection and the safety of God. Both Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem are now under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a beautiful picture. But here's what's great. There's more. Because I told you that at this one moment in Hezekiah's life, all of these things converge together. We also see the role of the penumbra, the light and the power of God through the shadow. We see it taking place right here at this exact same moment in Hezekiah's life. Because God says to the prophet Isaiah, he says, before Isaiah can even get back to Hezekiah, God says to Isaiah, he speaks to him saying, tell Hezekiah, this will be the sign to him that he is healed. This will be the sign to him that I have given him 15 years more to his life. This will be the sign to Hezekiah that the city of Jerusalem will be safe and secure by me all the years of Hezekiah's life. This will be a sign. And we see the sign. You can see it in several different, you can see it in 2 Chronicles, in 2 Kings, but I'm going to show it to you from Isaiah. Here's the sign of those promises. Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 8. Behold, I will bring the shadow. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial. This is the sign to Hezekiah. I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. So God has moved the shadow on the sundial back 10 degrees. The penumbra, that is the light and the power, the light and power of the shadow of God, it's demonstrated here by God actually moving the sun or moving the earth, either way. That's an amazing demonstration. That is an amazing sign. It's an amazing demonstration of the power, the penumbra, the power of Jesus Christ through us. It's an amazing demonstration through what? Through the shadow. Now God also, if you'll notice, God demonstrates this sign through a very specific instrument, the sundial of Ahaz. You know, when the Bible tells us stuff, we easily just read over things and don't really, we just take it for a while. I probably should, that's cool, doesn't mean anything to me. The Bible doesn't just put things in there for no reason. There's a reason that he identifies it's the sundial and why he uses the sundial of Ahaz. Who was Ahaz? Ahaz was the father of King Hezekiah. And when Ahaz was king, Ahaz did not serve the Lord. And even when the Lord instructed Ahaz to ask for a sign, God wanted to show, demonstrate his power to Ahaz. Even when he instructed Ahaz to ask for a sign, Ahaz would not ask for a sign. Now here we see God provides a sign of his protection and power, of his umbra and his penumbra through the shadow and through the shadow of the very Father who disobeyed, through the shadow of the sundial of the very Father who disobeyed. God pulls all of these things together, and we can see all of these things working together. Ahaz would not ask God for a sign. You know, you and I, as new covenant believers in Jesus Christ, we don't need to ask God for a sign. Because the signs and the wonders are the result of your service. The shadow was the sign for Hezekiah. But the sign for you and I today, it's the shadow, it's the umbra and the penumbra that he creates through his light shining through you, through the shadow of you. It is his signs and wonders flowing through the envoy, the divinely appointed envoy of you. The signs and the wonders today, they come through us. Now, I read this verse about the shadow going back on the sundial. I read this verse in 50. I read that same verse in 50 different versions of the Bible. But this is why I did it, because I knew that there was another meaning. I wanted to see how much it was. In 30 of those versions, so well over half of those versions, when you read that Bible verse, that version, it doesn't use the word degrees. It uses the words, or the word steps. And that's interesting and it's important because of what the Hebrew word for steps actually means. So even though the shadow went backward, steps, the Hebrew word for steps, actually means something that is arising, something that is ascending. When you read the book of, in Psalms, when you read Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, all 15 of those Psalms, if you read it, if you look in your Bible, you're going to see that each one of those 15 Psalms has a title. They're all called Psalms of Ascent. The word ascent there is the word for steps. It's the word that means to step. It means to step up. As we serve Jesus Christ, we are arising. We are ascending. We are growing and are knowing the deeper things of Jesus Christ as he shines his light through the service of you and I. This is how awesome God is. Even though we see the shadow going backwards, even in the backwards, it's demonstrating our ascending in our service, our growing in him and in our knowledge of him. Now, as awesome as that is, I think that's really awesome. But as awesome as that is, there's another place in the Bible. One other place that we see that word for steps. Guess which book we find that in? Amos. The other place that we see that word for steps, ascending, arising, is in Amos. You'll find it in Amos chapter 9. It won't say steps, but the words that are there actually is the same Hebrew word for steps. In Amos chapter 9, it speaks about steps, and it's speaking about the upper level, the upper chambers, the upper rooms of God's habitation. Now remember that you and I, we have a permanent place in the presence of God the Father in the spiritual realm through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us all the time. We have a permanent presence in that place. So the more that we serve Jesus Christ, the more that that power of the Holy Spirit manifests through the service of you and I. Why? Because you and I are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in those higher, upper level habitations. That's where we're seated. And this is what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. Speaking about Jesus, and he raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17 tells us that we are joint heirs with him in everything. Where? In these heavenly realms, in these upper chambers. It is the ascension, it's the steps. All three of these things, when we talk about success coming from serving, we see the power of the shadow. We see the shadow, we see Amos, our servant example, and we see the figs themselves all coming together at that one moment in Hezekiah to show us and demonstrate to us the power of our service to Jesus Christ. Serve Jesus instead of self on a daily basis, and allow his light to shine through us, bringing both his protection and his power, his umbra and his penumbra, through the shadow of you, because it's his light shining through you. One final verse I want us to look at. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. He shines through the service. He shines through your service like the light at noonday. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter to a perfect day. Choose the path of serving him on a daily basis. Choose the path of serving him in all that you do and with all of your heart, and he will prosper you in all areas of your life and in the lives of the people that you touch. He will prosper you because success comes from serving. Stay on the path of serving him. Stay on that path, and your success in both your life and the lives of the people you touch, your success will shine even greater. It will grow and increase like the radiance and the brightness of the sun on the perfect day. The perfect day. It's the protection and the power. It's the umbra and the penumbra of his shadow manifested. It's the manifestation of his shadow shining through you, his servant, shining through you as the light at noonday. You know, even this morning, I was sitting in my study this morning before we left, and I got a big, huge window in my study. And the way the light was coming in, but I could see the sun was shining through, the blinds were kind of open, so you could see the blinds, but on the wall, I could see the blinds and I could see the trees outside. And as I'm sitting there watching, and I promise you, I can't explain it, but I promise you, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm watching the shadow move. I think, man, God, that is awesome. I don't understand it. I don't know what it means, but it's awesome. But I also saw this. As I saw that shadow, and I could see the trees, and I could see the blinds. As the sun got brighter, that umbra and that penumbra became very defined. When the sun, all of a sudden, I start to see the clouds come, you could still see the shadow, but the umbra and the penumbra were not as defined. The more that we allow, by serving him, as Hezekiah did, by serving him in all that we do with our whole hearts, by serving him, we allow that light to shine through us. And the brighter that light shines through us, the more clear and the more defined the umbra, the protection, and the penumbra, his power through you, was clearly defined. Make the choice. Let's make him, just as Hezekiah did, serve him with our whole hearts. And his light shines through us, very defined and very powerful in your lives and in the lives of those that you touch and influence. Amen? Let's stand up and praise and worship Jesus as we close. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you use us. I thank you because you have things you've called each one of us to do. And even though we may not feel like we're special, I know that you will use us as we just make the choice to serve you. I thank you for the illustrations, and I thank you for the times in each one of our lives this very week that you're going to bring clear opportunities for us to make the choice. I'm either going to serve you or I'm going to serve self. And I thank you and I praise you that we have the boldness to serve you. And we want your light to shine through us like the light of noonday. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen.